I want to tell you two stories because they're especially appropriate on Christmas. Some years ago, in the early 1960s, the Archbishop of Canterbury was rushing to catch a train in London. In his haste, he accidentally jumped on the wrong passenger car and found himself on a car full of inmates from a mental hospital. They were all dressed in mental hospital clothing. As the train pulled out of the station, an orderly came onto the car and began counting the inmates. 1, 2, 3, 4. When suddenly he saw this distinguished looking gentleman wearing a business suit and a clerical collar. And he said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am the Archbishop of Canterbury." He paused a moment and then went, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then there's this story. In an article by Dr. Paul Ruskin on the stages of aging, Dr. Ruskin described a case study that he had presented to his students in medical school. He described the case study patient under his care like this. He said, "The patient neither speaks nor comprehends the spoken word. Sometimes she babbles incoherently for hours on end. She is disoriented about person, place, and time. She does, however, respond to her name. I have worked with her for the past 6 months, but she still shows complete disregard for her physical appearance and makes no effort to assist in her own care. She must be fed, bathed, and clothed by others. Because she has no teeth, her food must be pureed. Her shirt is usually soiled from almost incessant drooling. She does not walk. Her sleep pattern is erratic. Often she wakes in the middle of the night and her screaming awakens others. Most of the time she's friendly and happy, but several times a day she gets quite agitated without apparent cause. Then she wails until someone comes to comfort her." After presenting the class with this challenging case, Dr. Ruskin then asked his students if any of them would like to volunteer to help take care of this person. No one volunteered. Then Dr. Ruskin said, "I'm surprised that none of you offered to help because she's actually my favorite patient." He said, "Let me show you her picture." He pulled out the picture and passed it around. It was a photo of his 6-month-old daughter. If we step back a moment and pretend that we have never heard the Christmas story before, if we can do that, then we can totally relate to the reaction of the orderly to the Archbishop of Canterbury. This is the story of God becoming a human and then being born as a helpless baby. Remember the description of Dr. Ruskin of his daughter, that she must be fed, bathed, and clothed by others. When you think about it, a baby is the picture of helplessness. When you consider that God is the most independent being in the universe, that he placed himself into that humble position of total dependency, it boggles the mind. It's crazy. On that first Christmas, God gave us Jesus, his only son. Jesus came to be the Messiah of the world. That is what we heard in the message given to the shepherds by the angels. "Look, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," the Messiah, the Lord. It's great news. Finally, God is sending the promised one, the Messiah, the Christ, who's going to take care of all our problems. He's going to save us. And indeed, what does this child's name mean? He's named Jesus, and Jesus means literally, God saves. And the Jews of Jesus' day were excited about being saved. You see, they had been saved once through Moses. Moses had been the anointed one then. He had been anointed by God to help them out of their troubles. They had been slaves in Egypt, and then God sent Moses and led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. and into finally the promised land. It was slow going, but they finally made it. And Moses told them that one day God would send them another one like himself to help them. And now the angels are telling the shepherds that he's here. The new Messiah is finally here, and he is going to help them. And they needed help. Economically, their country was a mess. The hated Romans were in control of their government. Injustice, inequality, slave-like conditions were the norm for most of the nation. The wealthy class was very small, and the extremely poor class was very large. Violence was common, justice was skewed, and the Roman occupation army was brutal. But now, the angels made the announcement and everything was going to be good because the Messiah was coming. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? Jesus grew up from man into manhood and became a hero, gathering a great army and defeating the Romans. He went on to establish a benevolent dictatorship that ended up spreading over the entire world and bringing peace and prosperity to all. He ended all hunger, pain, and suffering, disease, and sickness. It was and still is wonderful. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't do that, did he? As a matter of fact, there's still a lot of suffering and pain and misery. There's still war in the Middle East. There's still hunger and people who are needy. There is still hatred and anger and bitterness. There is still selfishness and loneliness. There are people, even in our own church family, struggling with cancer and other terrible diseases. There are people in our church family struggling with unexpected bills. Some of our folks need jobs. Others have jobs that don't pay enough. There are people in our church who have family problems, marriages that are on the rocks, or children who are estranged from their parents, or siblings who are fighting with each other. So if Jesus didn't come to solve mankind's sufferings, what's the joy all about? Where is the good news? Good questions, right? Why did Jesus come? What good did he accomplish? First, Jesus did come to save his people, but it was not the way they thought they needed to be saved. But what the angels saw and recognized, the shepherds, the nation of Israel, the rest of humanity did not. The angels saw humanity was suffering horribly, but the main cause of the suffering was not just the brutality and savagery of the wars, nor simply the injustice, inequality, or slavery that was causing the suffering. It wasn't even the hunger, disease, or sicknesses. These were only symptoms of the problem. No, the root cause of humanity's suffering and trouble were from humanity being in rebellion from God. Being separated from God, we became sinful and selfish. We were stuck. We couldn't help ourselves. Humanity needed help. We needed rescuing. And God sent us the help we needed most. He sent himself as Jesus. Jesus, another name of Jesus is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And look how he came. He came humbly as a baby. He wasn't born into a rich family. He was born into a poor working class one. He was born in a stable, a place made for animals. And look who he told about it. He told the shepherds, people on the lowest rung of society in that day. You see, it was good news of great joy for everyone. He came to show all of humanity his love for his creation. When we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. He showed us God's love through how he lived and through how he died a painful, humiliating death for us on the cross. But then he came alive again in victory over death and over sin that has kept mankind in slavery. Jesus became humanity's hope for joy and life. Now we can personally know God and have his peace in our lives. Now we can have new life. We can have forgiveness of our sins and freedom from guilt. Through faith in him, Through faith in his death for our sins on the cross, he will give us the ability to change our ways and learn to live in a new way. That's what we see when we see Jesus as a baby in the manger. It's crazy, isn't it? But it's true. God became a helpless baby to show us his great love. That's the glorious news of the angels. It is good news of great joy. God loves us that he gave himself for us. Amen.